As I was pondering the word this afternoon and searching, I'd like you to come with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I'd like to kind of touch on verse 12. And we'll go forward. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. I'm using the NIV because I had no press to go to the Amplified or the King James. The Lord will use whatever Bible He presses me in. I don't make excuses, I just try to obey. When this particular piece of information came into my heart many years ago, I'll tell you exactly where I was. I was at PTL with Jim and Tammy Baker. My wife and I were there together, and we had just gone through a great big test. How many know we get tested many times, different levels, different seasons? I'm not sure who the invited guest, but God was really working in both of us at that time and trying to incorporate His Word into us so that we could comprehend what our lives was all about. And Dee was definitely part of my life at that time. And I can tell you that when the Word of God began to penetrate and separate me from traditions and my attitudes. How many of you have ever had a problem with attitudes? Well, I would have an attitude, and all of a sudden He would drop a word out of the scripture in my heart, like He did for Linda today. And it would shatter some of my old patterns. And I would sometimes react with anger. Sometimes I would shudder in unbelief, because the reactions were never the same. It was always God trying to just poke a hole in my act. Now, if you've ever had your act poked, you know what I'm talking about. Even today, my wife had surgery on Friday. Nothing major, just some repair work that needed to be done. I've had 3 hernia operations. This is also her 3rd, but they were interior. Mine were exterior. And the doctor had given a major word. There has to be certain things that happen within so many days, otherwise you can get in trouble. Well, they had to do a lot of work in her back, and most of her pain was in her back. And so this afternoon, we were already close to 24 hours late on what the doctor had said should happen. I mean, you know, you can run late, but yet still on time. And she began to cry because nothing was happening. And we were trying. We were doing all that we knew how to do, but nothing, absolutely nothing was working. And I said, Lord... She says, I've got so much pain down there. She says, I'm probably so tight. Nothing can happen. So the doctor had provided some medicine for pain, and so she took one more pill, which was on time. And she went back to lay down. The only place she's comfortable is on the couch, but that was God. And I went downstairs, and I said, I'm going to get away from all the other stuff. How many, you know, houses can be full of stuff? I have this little chair in my family room downstairs, which is also a doubled over for my office. And I laid back and I said, God, you got to show me what to do. So he showed me a vision. I'm not going to tell you what the vision was. And then I went out into the realm of the spirit, and I just rested with God. And as I got up, came upstairs, we had agreed that 1 hour, once the medicine had worked, we were going to try one more time to do what the doctor had commissioned. So I'm not going to tell her I have a vision, because it's just not going to be the right time. But I had asked God to just pour in some grace and some mercy, because I was tired of watching her in such a dilemma and such a painful space. How many know when your loved one is hurting, you want to take the pain away? And that's almost as bad as suffering the pain yourself. So I described to her what I felt she wanted to do, and of course she's embarrassed, and I said, honey, look, we've been married 49 years in May. I don't think there's anything new that I can be really exposed to. She kind of giggled, and we both laughed, because we have a grandson that teases all the time, and I pulled a couple of jokes with her, and she began to giggle. She says, don't make me laugh, it hurts. So now we got another dilemma. But the end result was that we had fruit. Within 1 hour, there was a victory. And such a relief came. And I said, honey, she said, well, I want to lay back down. I said, go lay down. I'm going back downstairs. Why am I going back downstairs? I want to rejoice. I want to give thanks to God, because you see, the Word of God divided all of the unbelief. All of the fear tactics began to melt away. As she laid down, I gave her a kiss, and I says, how is it now? And she says, it's like I've lost 1,000 pounds. Nothing really came out, but she had lost 1,000 pounds. Where was the weight? It was on the entire nervous system, the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. Everything was being pulled apart because we were 24 hours late. And then I said to her, you know, I says, Pastor, you know, Dr. Bob there, he made a comment to me. When you take pain medication, the body is slowed down. So I says, even if we're a little late, as long as we're on time with God and everything. So before I left, there was another victory, because now there was great release. And what I'm trying to tell you is the Word of God became alive again for me. You understand, the priesthood is to carry your brother's burden. Carry your brother's hardship. That can be your wife. That can be your child. So I'd like you to take a peek as we go a little deeper. For the Word of God is living and active. Well, the Word came in a vision form for me. So it's not limited to just this Word. It's not limited to the written Word. It is actually unlimited to the Holy Spirit, who teaches you even if you can't read. How many know Peter could not read? So if he couldn't read, how could he have a revealed Word without revelation coming from the Father? Who revealed to me the vision? The Lord. It was a Word from God. Do things a certain way and it will function. Who created the body? Guess who? Psalms 139 says he put us together. He knows my wife's body much better than me. We had looked at all the instructions. We had done everything according to instructions. But guess what? It wasn't working. And when you're hurting, you want relief. Amen? Okay. Now, sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You know, are there times that God uses hardships, trials such as a test where he takes away your health for a little while? He allows you to be dependent on someone else, maybe a doctor, maybe nurses, maybe other people. Whether they know God or not, God uses their talents, their abilities, and their gifts from God. This man gave of himself for me, kept me alive. Oh, I know he shakes his head, but God put him in school to learn things to help me. God put you guys in school to help me and others. And that's God's way of transforming us through His Word, whether you know Him or not. Did you hear me? I knew Him religiously. I knew Him from traditions. Correct, young lady? And those of you who have gone from tradition to a personal relationship, you know the difference in your heart. But what about those that are still like you back there, wherever they may be? What do you do with them? You love them to bits. Hold them in your heart. Intercede for them. And somebody will get through to them. Might not be you. Don't be too pushy. Be gentle. Compassion goes a long way. I've been insulted by believers. Okay? I have been totally insulted by believers. You know what? Because I remember my wife and I loving the Lord with all our hearts, being in a public place Christian, and someone said to us, "Well, are you filled?" And we both looked at each other and we both thought of our tummies, and then we thought, yeah, we're full, you know. Of course, they weren't talking about being full of food. And they weren't talking about something else. But you see, they had their language. And if you weren't filled with the Holy Ghost, you weren't holy. And we walked away from that experience, and we came back to our hotel room, and my wife said to me, "Well, what about me? I've been crying out for 4.5 years, and I still don't have the Holy Spirit with a fluent language." And I said, "Irene, if anybody has knocked on that door, I know you have." I said, "But God isn't ready yet. He hasn't unlocked the key. Whatever it is, there's a key." I didn't know the key would come 6 months later. I didn't know that she would just be able to turn that key if I get out of the picture. How many know you can be a hindrance to your wife or husband? You can be an irritation. Yes. The reality was that God took us again to a place, and He pulled me away, and He said to tell her, "I'm not going to be around for quite a few hours. I'm giving my time." And it happened to be at the upper room at PTL. And I can tell you exactly where we were. I had given my time to volunteer on the phones. And she and I had made a decision. I was on from 11 o'clock in the morning until, I think, 6 o'clock at night. And she went into the upper room, right over where the phone conference center was. And I was working downstairs with people that I had met and volunteered there before. And she went upstairs and decided that she's going to pray and just wait on God. And she made a commitment to the Lord. "I'm not coming out of this room until I get it." Guess what? Her husband wasn't there to tell her it was not a good idea. She didn't have to threaten God. But you see, she had to really come to that place where she was decided she was going to do it. No matter what it took, she had all kinds of time. She was totally alone. Nobody else was going to pull her buttons or push her buttons. That could have been me. Out of the picture, and she watched. Within a half hour or an hour, whatever it was, there was another person that went there. And of course, those of you, have you ever been? Did anybody ever see the pictures of the upper room? Okay, been there. Well, they have this big, like it looks just like a picnic table that was in the middle. And then there were like benches all around. And it was actually a place where they would take Holy Communion many times. And we had already been many times in that room during that week, because we were there for a week. Well, she wanted to be the next one. She was, you know, taking turns to go talk to the pastor. And she was going to get prayers from him for the receiving of the Spirit. Well, she didn't want to hear, but you know, sometimes in an echo chamber, you hear everything. So she's trying to kind of bow her head, and she says, "Kim, I was really trying to block my brain out of what the conversation was, because I didn't want to eavesdrop." So she says, "I'm trying to pray, at the same time read my Bible, and not hear." But then she realized the other person asked, "I would like to receive the Holy Spirit." Oh, well, that's easy. Okay? So guess what she did? Now, she had done this with the Children of Light many, many times, and this one will verify. All she did, she says, "Kim, I lifted my two hands, and," she says, "I began to really decide I'm going to intercede for this lady." And guess what? She got the tongues. And I was so jealous, because you see, when I got my tongues, I only got 4 syllables, she got a full language. She was so drunk in the Lord that she couldn't walk. Because when she met me at the door downstairs at 6 p.m. or 7, whatever it was time, she was starved for food. And I said, "Are you okay?" And she was weaving like a person who had drank 3-4 bottles. And we're trying to walk, and she's walking, and she had low heels, you know, about yay. And she's walking like this. And I thought, my guts. She says, "Kim, it happened. It happened. I got it. So what did God do? God gave her a word. He divided her. He broke her into pieces and released within her the Spirit of the Father. Why? Why wait 5 years? Because God had a plan. You see, changing us is what the name of the game is. Are you ready? Verse 14. "Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." You see, many times we have this concept of God that can't comprehend us, can't understand us, because how could he know what it's like to live in an earth suit? That's the very reason why he sent his son to be born in an earth suit. Because when you live on earth, you need a... If you were in heaven, you'd need a heaven suit. If you were on the moon, you'd need a space suit, moon suit. Got it? Same idea, simple. Jesus came and lived in one of these, and it had all kinds of what? Problems. Proof. He'll understand yours. Proof that he'll comprehend when you're having a hard time. Proof that you can go to him with whatever it is, whatever depth it is, and he's not going to turn you away, because he's tasted it. Tell your neighbor, Jesus tasted it already. Do you realize what that statement says? Jesus tasted it already. He tasted of the weakness. He tasted of the victory. He tasted it so that we could, what? He tasted it so that we could what? What's the reason why he tasted it? Again?
So we could give it back.
Amen. Amen. And he'll understand us, and he's not going to reject us. There are levels of testings in all of our lives, but none of them are hopeless. They're all to be understood by him. He'll understand every single corner of your background. He'll understand male and female, because he put us together. He knows exactly what to do. Last verse, 16. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of
need.
Okay, if you think you can get mercy without giving it, I've got news for you. It's not going to happen. You say, well, wait a minute. I don't think they deserve any mercy. They were bad. They roughed me up. They misused me. Blah, blah, blah. Well, if you have this kind of an attitude, guess what you're going to get? Yeah. Is God against the proud? Absolutely. James chapter 4. Think about this. If you give out mercy, you'll get plenty back. If you give out grace, you'll get more and more back. If you give out healing, you'll get more and more back. If you give out love, you're going to be flooded with it. If you give out anger, guess who's going to come to visit? If you give out resentment, who's coming back to see you? If you give out judgments, what do you get? If you give out criticalness, what do you get? So who's in charge? You are. If you can't do it on your own, ask for help. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. Close your eyes. Father, without You, we can do nothing. Lord, I want to thank You tonight for taking us into a level of understanding where we can come to You with whatever difficulty, whatever level of hardship, and find grace and mercy every time, all the time, 100% of the time, and healing every single time. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.